Today, markets ride the volatility roller coaster with no visible support. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US and cross to Europe and Asia and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. This past week, foreshortened by the Easter holidays but haunted by the Gulf War and Trump's gyrations, plus an oil shock and a potential inflation outbreak, all combined to create significant market swings. Fears of a recession, stagflation linked to higher interest rates, and an energy shock looks all now pretty certain. Economists have wound back growth forecasts, central banks have halted rate cuts, and markets, following the almost now forgotten Venezuelan raid, did believe him, and they still hope that it will somehow stop before heavily exposed countries such as Japan and South Korea run into trouble. But Trump says the US will have nothing to do with what happens in the Strait. That's not for us. That'll be for France. That'll be for whoever's using the Strait. Meantime, Iran is drafting a proposal with Oman to monitor traffic through the Strait, according to state-run media reports, with talks of tolls, but not in US dollars. It's a weapon of mass disruption and market impact. And Iran is expected to use its discovered maritime leverage beyond immediate financial gain to demand long-term security guarantees and deterrence measures in any final peace settlement with the US. This won't happen quickly. In a social media post from Thursday, President Donald Trump said it's time for Iran to make a deal before it is too late and there is nothing left of what still could become a great country. Well, there will certainly be lasting ramifications to the oil and gas shock. We're into week five of no tankers filling up and hitting the high seas with their essential cargoes. I discussed this and the consequences in my show with Tarek Brooker that I released yesterday. So today I'm going to focus on the markets, which had another crazy week. The global MSCI index ended up 2.88% for the week, while Stoxx 600 was up 3.71%, and the All Asia ex Japan, which did trade on Friday, fell 1.11%, but still up 2.24% for the week. Brent futures wobbled lower on hopes of an early end to the conflict before turning higher to end up at 109.04. But physical Brent is at $141. Physical, of course, is the price you need for oil now. Paper is the price if delivery can wait until, say, June. Oil needs to average around $140 per barrel for 2 months to trigger a global recession, according to Oxford Economics. And Capital Economics projects that Brent could average $150 over the next 6 months if the conflict lasts another 3 months. The Strait of Hormuz crisis is, of course, in full swing, as this data from Bloomberg shows. Oil futures didn't trade on Friday due to the Easter weekend, creating a longer than usual weekend period without price movements. But oil is going far higher than consensus thinks because total oil product exports from the Middle East plunged 63% in March. That's the equivalent of 4.8 million barrels per day to around 2.8 million barrels per day. Of the remaining 2.8 million barrels per day still being exported, 1.1 million barrels per day, or 39%, is flowing through the Saudi Arabia's Red Sea ports, bypassing the shut Strait of Hormuz. But jet fuel has been hit the hardest, with exports plunging 85%, triggering flight cancellations and fuel shortages across Asia-Pacific. At the same time, LPG and naphtha exports dropped by 1 million barrels per day, and diesel, gasoline, and fuel oil exports also fell sharply, with declines ranging from 60 to 70%. Now, over in the US, two of the three major US benchmarks reversed early losses heading into the 3 days to break. The S&P 500 edged up 0.1% after falling more than 1.5% earlier in the session. Nasdaq Composite rose 0.2%, also rebounding from an earlier deeper loss. And the Dow finished down slightly. Three indices had their biggest weekly rises in 4 months and the first week of gains in six, on hopes or maybe faith of a quick opening of the straits, but they may well be disappointed. Looking at specific names, Tesla slumped 5.4% as its quarterly delivery data disappointed. The electric vehicle giant missed expectations for vehicle deliveries for a second quarter in a row, reporting first quarter deliveries of 358,023 versus consensus figures of 373,160, which itself had been revised significantly lower. Consumer discretionary stocks across the board slid 1.5%. That's the worst performing sector on the day. Blue Owl fell 1.6%, and it recovered some of its initial crash on the day, but is still down 41.7% year to date, after saying it would limit redemptions from two of its private credit funds amid a surge in withdrawal requests. But the private credit problems are deepening, with more withdrawals underway, as the largest private credit and alternative asset managers have lost a combined $132 billion in market value so far in 2026. Microsoft rose 1.1% after Bloomberg reported that, responding to Wall Street feedback, it had pivoted its AI sales strategy to focus on selling Copilot rather than offering it for free as part of its software bundle. SpaceX boosted its initial IPO valuation above $2 trillion US dollars as the world's most valuable startup gears up to pitch potentially the largest ever debut, even as NASA heads back to the moon. Globalstar's shares jumped 13.4% after reports said Amazon is in talks to buy the low orbit communication satellite company. In passing, note that the Trump administration said it will maintain 50% tariffs on many imported steel, aluminium, and copper products, even as it moves to simplify duties for goods made with negligible amounts of the metals. Separately, the administration said it would impose tariffs as much as 100% on certain imported medicines, albeit with several key exemptions, a maneuver to pressure drug makers to manufacture more in the US. US data on Thursday showed the number of Americans filing for initial jobless claims in the past week came in lower than expected. The week had been kicked up by a slightly softer JOLTS report, in which job openings dipped in February and the hires rate slumped to its lowest level since April 2020, but JOLTS is not necessarily that reliable. US jobs growth came in well above expectations in March as a strike by healthcare workers ended and temperatures warmed up, but downside risks to the labour markets are mounting from the war with Iran that has no clear end in sight. Actually, March was too early to capture the fallout from the Middle East conflict. Non-farm payrolls rose by 178,000 during the month. That's according to data from the Bureau of Labour Statistics, comfortably beating the median estimate of 65,000 from economists. Forecasts had ranged widely from a decline of 16,000 to an increase of 151,000, highlighting the uncertainty heading into the release. The stronger headline figures were partially offset by revisions to prior data. February payrolls were revised down to a decline of 133,000 from a previously reported drop of 92,000, while net revisions over the prior 2 months resulted in a modest 7,000 reduction. Still, the March print suggests the labour market remains more resilient than feared. The unemployment rate edged down to 4.3% from 4.4%, coming in slightly better than expectations, which were for no change. Wages growth, however, showed some signs of moderating. Average hourly earnings rose 0.2% month over month. That was below expectations of 0.3%. That was below expectations of 0.3% and down from the prior 0.4% increase. On an annual basis, earnings grew 3.5%, also missing forecasts of 3.7%. Overall, though, this was still clearly a better than expected report, the one that justifies the current wait and see approach from the Fed, as it assesses how persistent the current oil price shock will be and how likely it is to spill over into other areas of inflation, CIBC economist Andrew Grantham said in the note. Economists estimated the jobless rate would have risen to 4.5% were it not for the decline in the participation rate. A reduced labour force now means the economy needs to create fewer than 50,000 jobs per month to keep up with growth in the working age population. Marsh's employment report likely has no effect on the interest rate outlook, with the effects of supply chain disruptions from the conflict still to work their way through the economy. The odds of a rate cut this year, though, have greatly diminished. The Federal Reserve left its benchmark overnight interest rate in the 3.5 to 3.75% range last month, and US Treasury yields rose on the report. The 10-year was last at 4.345%, while the DXY was at 100.19. US government debt is rising fast, and a recent auction did not go to plan, with $15 billion in bonds being bought back by the Treasury. And we can expect more spending ahead too, because according to the White House budget documents released on Friday, Trump is seeking a 10% reduction in non-defense discretionary spending while boosting defense funding significantly. The proposal includes $1.5 trillion in total budgetary resources for defense in the financial year 2027, underscoring continued focus on military and national security investment. The plan also outlines a $500 billion increase in defense spending, with funds earmarked for a range of initiatives, including the Golden Dome program, efforts to address shortfalls in critical minerals stockpiles, and expanded shipbuilding. Military personnel would also see higher compensation under the proposal, with a planned pay rise of between 5 and 7%. As with all presidential budget proposals, the plans will need approval by Congress, where it's likely to face negotiation and require bipartisan support. Historically, such proposals serve as a framework for discussion rather than a final spending blueprint. Gold futures slipped on Thursday, snapping a four-day winning streak as investors reacted to renewed escalation signals from President Donald Trump on the Iran conflict. It declined 2.5% to $4,679 an ounce. Next few weeks could hold more consolidation and choppy price action for gold as market participants continuously recalibrate geopolitical risks in response to the volatile news cycle, UBS strategists said. UBS trimmed their average gold price forecast for the year to $5,000 from $5,200, citing mark-to-market adjustments for the first quarter, while keeping its year-end target unchanged at $5,600. Among other precious metals, silver prices fell 3.2%. European stocks traded mostly lower on Thursday as hopes of a near-term ceasefire in Iran collapsed after US President Donald Trump pledged to intensify military operations over the coming months, sending oil prices sharply higher. However, they did manage to claw back some of their earlier losses. The pan-European stock 600 fell 0.2%. The DAX in Germany dropped 0.8%. The CAC 40 in France slid 0.2%. But the FTSE in the UK was an outlier, rising 0.7%. Markets, of course, are closed for Good Friday and Easter Monday. The decline for most European indices reversed a two-day rally earlier to regional benchmarks on hopes the war was nearing its end. Oil majors BP and Shell rose 2.6% and 2.9% respectively, ranking among the top gainers in the UK index. In a sign that the energy industry is already repositioning around the disruption, Shell is in advanced talks with Venezuela to expand gas development across multiple offshore fields, targeting access to around 20 trillion cubic feet of reserves. The surge in energy costs is beginning to filter through to the aviation sector. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary warned that the jet fuel supplies to Europe could face disruption from June if the Middle East conflict persists, raising the prospect of some flight cancellations. Lufthansa separately flagged early signs of supply tightness, particularly in Asia, where some airports are already limiting additional flights. The pharma index climbed 1.7% and AstraZeneca rose 1.9% after it said a late-stage trial showed its IMFAZI combination improved progression-free survival in a common liver cancer. British Foreign Minister Yvette Cooper chaired a virtual meeting of around 40 countries, including France, Germany, Italy, Canada, and the United Arab Emirates on Thursday to explore ways to restore freedom of navigation to the Straits. The United States didn't attend, and, well, frankly, little was announced afterwards, perhaps more form than substance. In Asia, Japanese and South Korean equities rose in thin holiday trade on Friday, with strength in technology shares, while investors watched for updates on the ongoing US-Iran war. Several major regional markets, including Hong Kong, Australia, and Singapore, closed for the Good Friday holiday. Japan's Nikkei 225 advanced 1.2%, while South Korea's Kospi jumped nearly 3%, supported by strength in technology shares. In China, data showed that services sector growth cooled in March, with the rating dog services PMI falling to 52.1 from February's 33-month high of 56.7, although it remained in expansion territory. China's Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.9%, while the blue-chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 edged 0.6% lower, and Hong Kong drifted lower the previous day. India's Nifty 50 rose 0.15% to 22,713, but it was down slightly on the week as the energy shock hangs over India too. Quality stocks continued to form in Asia during the recent market sell-off, even as the trend reversed in the US and Europe. That's according to Macquarie. The risk-off environment triggered a momentum sell-off across markets, with no clear rotation between growth and value stocks, they said. Despite rising stagflation concerns, earnings revisions remain resilient across the region. In Asia ex-Japan, value stocks led in China, while Korea positioned underweight growth. Market breadth improved and correlations rose, they said, consistent with the global risk-off backdrop. Momentum was broadly solid across the region, except in Taiwan. Taiwan was the only market where momentum remained a key driver, they said. Momentum has increasingly aligned with profitability over the past year, while earnings revisions remain robust. The Australian share market fell into the red after investors were spooked by the fiery speech from US President Donald Trump, in which he said the world's largest economy would send Iran, quote, back to the Stone Ages. The ASX 200 climbed as much as 0.4% in the morning session before turning sharply lower after oil spiked on Trump's aggressive rhetoric. Just one day earlier, he'd raised hopes that the month-long conflict was coming to an end. The gauge closed down 1.1% to 8,579, but it still finished the week nearly 1% higher. Gold miners got whacked after the price of bullion fell as much as 2% as traders digested Trump's speech, having jumped early in the session on hopes the president would take a softer stance. Greatland Resources, which had leapt more than 5%, closed down 1.4% to $12.85. The technology sector, which has been largely flat before the president's speech, sank 3% in the aftermath, weighed down by Zip, which plunged 8.2% to $1.58. Life360 dropped 5.9% to $18.70. WiseTech Global came off 4.3% to $37.90. Next DC3 fell 3.8% to $11.30. And Block was 4.1% lower to $84.50. And while the energy sector fell more than 3.3% in the morning, it finished the day down just 0.4% as Santos gained 1.4% to $8.08. The biggest turnaround story was oil and gas exploration and production company Karoon Energy, which had been trading down 4% in the morning but closed up 6.5% to $2.12. In corporate news, KMD Brands shares tanked 54.8% to 7 cents after resuming trading on Thursday following the completion of the institutional component of its emergency capital raising. Sinlat Milk gained 1.4% to 37 cents after completing the $307 million New Zealand dollar sale of its North Island manufacturing and logistics assets to global healthcare company Abbott. Delta Lithium was placed in a trading halt after the Australian Financial Review reported that the company had an estimated 62,000 tonnes of rubidium, which could be worth $93 billion. And the ASX company lost 1.1% to $52.77, despite ASIC finding that the exchange operator's risk and compliance failures could potentially have serious consequences that negatively impacted the country's financial markets. Nothing to see here then, eh? The banks were mixed, with ANZ up 0.71%, CBA was up 0.52%, NAB was down 0.2%, and Westpac was down 0.52% too. Macquarie was at $205.59. The Aussie was at 68.95 US cents and 52.22 UK pence, while the 10-year bond was at 5.1% and the 2-year was at 4.71%, interest rates going higher. Bitcoin traded largely unchanged on Friday and was set to end the week little changed as investors weighed conflicting signals around the US-Iran situation. It was last $66,960. Trading volumes remained subdued, with many global markets closed for the Good Friday holiday, of course, limiting participation across digital assets. Earlier in the week, Bitcoin had briefly risen towards 68,000 on potential signs of easing tensions in the Middle East, but gains faded after US President Donald Trump struck a more aggressive tone on Iran. 2025 peak was above 126,000 US, highlighting a broader cooling in crypto markets this year. World number two crypto Ethereum edged up just 0.4% to 2,048 US. So standing back, we are continuing to see significant volatility as the markets are waiting for the next comment from Trump, be it good or bad. But meanwhile, damage is being done to the global economy, stagflation is coming, and interest rates are going higher. Markets have not yet factored in all of this critical information, in my view, and they're more likely to drop than go higher from this point. But again, they always try and outguess what's going on, so they could probably do it again. Cash looks pretty good as an option just at the moment. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.